Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will start a brand new series of studies here on Grace Alive, a series entitled Going for the Gold. We're going to look at our service for the Lord and how that service is rewarded in eternity. Our starting point for this series of studies will be 2 Timothy chapter 2, so you might want to take a moment now and get your Bibles and turn with us to the second chapter of Paul's second epistle to Timothy. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program, we'll give you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive. We have a web address, toll-free phone number, and also, of course, a mailing address in any one of those ways. If you contact us during this month's series of studies, we'd be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes or the DVDs or CDs of this entire month's series of studies. So just get a pen or pencil now and get ready to take that information down at the end of the program. And also, if you have questions or comments about what you hear on Grace Alive, we'd love to have those too and love to respond to you. Right now, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, and we read this. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned unless he strive lawfully. In this passage of Scripture, Paul talks to us about our service for the Lord. He does it in the context of striving. In one other place that we'll look at in a few moments, he does it in the context of running a race. And he says, we must strive for masteries, yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. The context of the passage here, he's talking about our service for the Lord. He's talking about us being soldiers for the cause of Christ. In the beginning of the passage, he says this, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So the whole context here is the enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that spiritual warfare in which we're involved as soldiers of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 5 that when you strive for masteries, you are not crowned. That is, you don't receive the reward for that striving, for those masteries, unless you strive lawfully. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul uses the analogy of an athletic contest, an athletic event, in the context of this striving for the masteries. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. There's that striving for mastery again in the context of a race, of an athletic event. And he says they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. A crown, a reward that is corruptible, that will fade away. But we, in our race, in our striving, we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. And we will talk about that incorruptible crown later on in our series of studies and exactly what that crown is. But today we just want to lay the groundwork and make sure that we understand exactly what it is that we're discussing when we talk about striving for the masteries, when we talk about serving the Lord, when we talk about running the race that is set before us. And as I mentioned, Paul talks about it in the context of an athletic event. And then he says, you're not crowned unless you strive lawfully. In just the recent few weeks, at the time we're making this program, we've seen in the sports pages stories about people who have strived unlawfully. An athletic contestant from the Sydney Games in Australia who had to give back gold medals because it was determined that she didn't strive lawfully for those medals, that she had taken some kind of performance-enhancing drugs and that sort of thing. And the medals were given back not because she hadn't won the contest, but because she won the contest not by striving lawfully. That's exactly the kind of context that Paul uses there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You're not crowned, you don't get the reward, except you strive lawfully. There have been stories about a football team in the NFL that is, you know, videotaping the opposing coaches and trying to steal signals and that sort of thing, and they were fined for it, and there's been a big consternation about this problem. And it's because the question arises, are they striving lawfully? Have the things they've achieved and the things they've done, have they been lawful? So when Paul says we're not crowned unless we strive lawfully, that's exactly the kind of thing he's talking about. We're running a race. Our race is the service of the Lord. And we'll not be crowned, we'll not be rewarded for running that race if we don't do it lawfully. Now, whenever we talk about reward for service, and whenever we talk about serving the Lord and then striving and running and receiving that reward, we always need to, as we start out, understand that we're talking specifically here about our service for the Lord and not about our salvation. And it's very important that we don't mix those two. So in the remainder of the program today, before we really get into looking at the reward for service and how we are to strive lawfully and what are the rules whereby we're to strive in our service for the Lord, before we get into all of that, we want to take today and just reiterate the fact that our salvation, our position in Christ, our justification, our sanctification, our forgiveness of sins is in no way related to this striving lawfully for masteries, but comes as a free gift by grace through faith. In fact, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we see that verse that I just quoted, and that verse relates to our salvation, our justification. Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Our salvation, our justification to eternal life, is by grace, through faith, not of works. We are His workmanship, verse 10 goes on to say, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, our salvation is not based upon our works, but based upon His. We are His workmanship, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should. That's the desired result. The desired result of our salvation is that we follow good works. It's not a required result. It's not necessarily what is always going to be the case. In fact, it is not always going to be the case. But it is the desired result. Those good works that follow salvation, our service that follows salvation, our striving for the masteries that follows salvation, is certainly the desired result of our salvation, but it is not our salvation. Our salvation comes in verses 8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith. Turn with me, if you will, back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11. And in Romans 11, Paul is going to indicate that there can't be a mixing of law and grace. If Paul tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, that grace, that salvation by grace, cannot be mixed with works. It cannot be mixed with a law-type system. Grace cannot coexist with law. Grace does not equal law. And in Romans chapter 11, Paul's going to tell us that, verse 6, if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Grace and the law, or works, can't coexist. Grace is a system of a gift. The law is a system of earning, of works. The two can't go together. And Paul makes that clear in Romans 11, that grace and law cannot coexist. And when you're talking about our salvation, when you're talking about our justification, our forgiveness of sins, and having the gift of eternal life, when that is the issue, the law and the works of the law have no place in that system. Yet there are places in Paul's epistles where he talks about works. For example, a man cannot be crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, that doesn't seem to fit. Striving lawfully, and there he doesn't necessarily mean the Mosaic law, he simply means striving according to God's word, according to truth. How is it that he can say we have to strive lawfully if our salvation is by grace? You see, in the one case, in Ephesians 2, he's talking about our justification, our salvation, our forgiveness. In the other case, in 2 Timothy 2, he's talking about our service, our good works which God hath ordained that we should walk in. Here in Romans 11, he draws that distinction between a system of grace, a gift, and a system of law, of works. And within the book of Romans, he talks about each of these issues. He talks about the grace part of our life as believers. He talks about the work part of our life as believers. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 4 and get also Romans chapter 14. Romans 4 and Romans 14. In Romans chapter 4 verse 5, he says this, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." To him that worketh not, but believeth. That's the gift. His faith is counted for righteousness. The gift of grace. To him that works not, but believeth. That's the faith. That's our salvation. Now look in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 11. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us is going to have to explain our actions, our service to God. Now that certainly would come under the law and work system. You see, salvation by grace, salvation as a free gift, takes away the accountability that you have to explain your every action to God. Because when you come to faith in Christ, when you understand that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God took your sin, took everything that's wrong with you, and placed it on Him. And when He died, He paid for everything that's wrong with you. So once you trust that by faith, yes, I believe that when Christ died on the cross, He paid for everything that's wrong with me, every sin, past, present, and future. Once that's accomplished, you no longer need to give an account to God of all your sins. You don't need to confess all your sins to God. You don't need to make a laundry list of all the things wrong with you and beg and plead for God to forgive them. They are already forgiven. So the very essence of your salvation is that you don't have to keep short accounts with God because all of your sin is under the blood of Christ. Yet in Romans 14, Paul says, every man shall give account of himself to God. Well, it's interesting, the two different sections of the book of Romans that these two verses are in. Romans 4, talking about to him that worketh not but believeth, is in that section of the book of Romans where Paul is talking to us about eternal life. In Romans 1 and 2 and part of Romans 3, he talks about the condemnation of man and our sinful condition. In Romans 3, he talks about how we can be justified by faith apart from the works of the law. In Romans 4, he talks more about that faith and compares it to the faith of Abraham. In Romans 5, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that context that he talks about being saved without works. The man that believeth and does not work, He has justification. And it's in the context of our salvation. Romans 14 is in the context of our service. In Romans 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So in the last few chapters of the book of Romans, the issue is not a gift of eternal life by grace, but your work of service after salvation. And that's what all of grace hinges on. That's what all of service under grace hinges on, is an understanding that your service is not to attain salvation, but your service is because of your salvation. Your obedience to God's word is not so that you will have your sins forgiven, but because your sins have already been forgiven. Your desire to live righteously is not so that God will reward you with eternal life, but because God has already given you the gift of eternal life. And you now live out that gift of the life of Christ that you've received. So there is this contrast in Paul's epistles. There is this presentation of the two issues, of salvation by grace being a free gift, but then your service being the works, striving lawfully. I want to just look at some places where that's evident, where you can see that, yes, you have a position that is one thing because of your salvation by grace, but now you are to live out that position that you've been given. For example, let's get 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says this in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul says there that idolaters, adulterers, fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you, writing to the church at Corinth. But you're washed, sanctified, justified. When they got saved, received the gift of righteousness and eternal life, all that they were was done away. In fact, these people, if you look back in chapter 5, verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. There's fornication among them. In fact, such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. So there's this apparently rampant fornication among the Corinthians. Yet in chapter 6, he says, you are no longer fornicators. You are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. Positionally, all those sins are done away. Positionally, they'll never be held accountable for those because they're in Christ. But look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. To the Thessalonians, Paul says, the will of God is that you abstain from fornication, and that is your sanctification. You want to be sanctified? Abstain from fornication. Now, to the Corinthians, talking about their salvation, he says, you know, many of you are committing fornication, but you're not fornicators anymore because you're sanctified in Christ. His message to the church at Corinth in that very passage is, you're not a fornicator anymore, you are sanctified, therefore, why are you living in fornication? Why are you living as a fornicator when you're not one anymore? And that's the point that he's making to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's saying, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Abstain from fornication. Possess your vessel in honor. Serve. You are no longer a fornicator by a gift of righteousness and eternal life. Therefore, in your service, live that out. Sanctify your vessel. Sanctify your body. Don't be a fornicator. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. And get also Romans 14 again. Ephesians 1 verse 6 and Romans 14. We're just looking at a few verses here that illustrate all through Paul's epistles, there is this distinction between the position that you have as a gift of grace and the service of works. Positionally by grace, you are no longer a fornicator. You are sanctified in Christ Jesus, declared righteous and holy. In your service, Paul says, abstain from fornication, possess that vessel with honor. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Ephesians 1 and verse 6. We read this in Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Based on that verse, where is your acceptance? Well, it's in the Beloved. It's in Christ. By the gift of grace, God has placed you into Christ and made you accepted in Him. God accepts you not because of who you are, but because of who Christ is. God accepts you because you are in Christ. Listen to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Now there he says that to be acceptable of God, for in he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. Well, you have to serve a certain way to be acceptable to God in that passage. Why does he say in one place, you are acceptable to God, you're accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. And another place he says, you've got to serve a certain way in order to be acceptable to God, to be accepted by Him. Well, again, it's because of that issue of our standing, our position in Christ, and then our service. In Christ, at the moment of our salvation, as a free gift of eternal life, by grace through faith, we are accepted in the Beloved, and God will never reject us, never turn us away, never cast us aside. We are in Christ, and He can't cast us away without casting Christ away. On the other hand, if we want our service to be accepted, if we want our race to be won, if we want to strive lawfully, he that in these things serveth Christ. See, the issue there is service. He that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So the one, again, is our salvation by grace, our acceptance in Christ because of that position. The second is the acceptance of our service for Him. Let's look at another example. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. And let's get Romans chapter 8. Ephesians 2 and Romans chapter 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 8. Ephesians 2, 5. Even when we were dead in Christ, hath quickened us to dead in sins rather, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 23, and verse 22 rather. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Well, Paul says we're seated in heavenly places. But Paul also says, no, you're here on the earth groaning, waiting for the redemption of your body. Well, what's the case? What's reality? What's true? They're both true. In our salvation by grace, we have a position in Christ in the heavenly places. In our service for Him, we're in a body of flesh, groaning and travailing in pain together until now. So there is that presentation in Paul's epistles of both issues. In this series of studies, from now on, beginning next week, we'll be looking at this side of the ledger, the law and our service, not the law of Moses, but striving lawfully, serving Him properly. Our salvation is by grace through faith in the shed blood of Christ, in what He accomplished at Calvary, and it can never be changed, it can never waver, we can never lose it, we can never get out of Christ. But in order to be rewarded, we must strive lawfully. And that's the topic we'll consider for the remainder of our programs. Right now, we'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.us, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week with any questions or comments that you might have about the program. And as I mentioned, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, DVDs, or CDs of this entire month's series of studies, just request the series on Going for the Gold, and we'll be glad to get it out to you without any cost or obligation. We look forward to seeing you next week, and until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.